It's a joy to be with you this morning. I hesitated over telling you this story, but I guess I'll go ahead and do it. That's what pastor does, right? He thinks I shouldn't tell that story, and then he goes ahead and tells it anyway. So we were at the nursing home yesterday at Elmcroft, and once a month the teenagers go over there for a service. And it was our Valentine service, and we handed out roses and candy to the folks, and preached a message on John 3:16, the greatest verse in the Bible on love. It's all about love. And so afterwards, we went around greeting these folks, and this dear little old lady, she said, "That was the best sermon I've heard in all my life, and I've been around a long time." And you know, I was thinking, wow, I pat myself on the back. That was a great message. And then the Lord reminded me, you know, don't forget that most of these people in here have Alzheimer's. And I said, thank you, Lord. I needed that reminder. And sure enough, I came around about 5 minutes later, and she'd forgotten everything she told me. And have I met you before? Do I know you? Remember, I preached the greatest message you ever heard. Don't you remember that? So, anyway, this morning we're going to continue our theme of growing in faith. There are four times in the scriptures that Jesus rebukes his disciples with these words, "O ye of little faith." And that phrase, "O ye of little faith," is actually one Greek adjective that can be translated this way, little faith ones. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you were a little faith one? That your faith in God was really what it shouldn't be. It was really pretty small. As we take a closer look at these incidents in Scripture, I believe we'll see four areas in which our own faith needs to grow. But before we open the scripture, let me just say something about growth. Where there is growth, there must be life. If there is no life, there can be no growth. 38 years ago, archaeologists digging in Israel uncovered some 2,000-year-old seeds from, today it's an extinct date palm, the Judean date palm. It's extinct today, but they uncovered some seeds while they were excavating in Herod's palace on Masada. And one of those seeds was taken to a kibbutz called Keturah there in Israel, and they planted this seed to see if they could get it to grow, a 2,000-year-old seed. And sure enough, they took this in 2005, and sure enough, the seed started to grow. And they, before they knew it, they had a seedling. And they nicknamed this little seedling Methuselah, because that was the oldest seed that had been brought back to growth. After 2,000 years, that seed still contained life. Before we can grow in our faith in God, we must come to Him in faith for salvation. And just a reminder that that faith we come to God in salvation for is not even our own. We don't even possess that. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The faith to believe on Him is a gift from Him. And so before we can even think about growing in our faith in God, we must come to Him in faith for salvation. We must be born again. We must receive new life in Jesus Christ. Is that something that has taken place in your life? Has there been a time in your life when you came to Jesus Christ for salvation? You came to the realization that you are a lost sinner and your sin is separating you from God, and the only thing you can do for your sin is cry out to God for forgiveness and believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Has that taken place in your life? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't done that, we invite you to come to Christ today. There must be life within before there can be growth. And so let's examine these four areas in which our faith needs to grow. Four areas, if you will, of little faith. And all these four incidents are found in Matthew, so we won't be straying from that book too much. Matthew chapter 6, we'll find the first one. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin at verse 24, and we will see little faith in the provision of God. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The verses here in Matthew chapter 6 are part of the Sermon on the Mount. And the first occurrence of the phrase, O ye of little faith, is linked with the provision of God and putting God's kingdom first. That little phrase, take no thought, that appeared over and over again in that discourse. Take no thought means do not fret, do not worry, do not be anxious. Don't be anxious over the necessities of life listed here as what you will eat or what you will drink, what you will wear. And then Jesus used the birds as an object lesson. And I can picture this in my mind's eye. Jesus pointing to the trees on the hillside where the birds are flitting around, pointing to the birds as they flew overhead. And Jesus said, the birds don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather the harvest into barns, but your heavenly Father provides food for them. You're better than birds. You are far more valuable to your heavenly Father than birds. So, don't you think he will provide food for you? Of course he will. I can picture Jesus pointing out the wildflowers on that hillside. The lilies of the field don't toil to make clothing. They don't spin thread to make cloth, but God clothes them. In fact, God clothes them more beautifully than even King Solomon in all of his glory. If God clothes the flowers, which are here today, and gone tomorrow, don't you think he will provide clothing for you, my children? And here is our phrase, O ye of little faith. And Jesus is saying, little faith ones, your faith in God's provision needs to grow. Your heavenly Father has provided for your needs in the past. Can't you trust him to continue to provide for your needs today and in the future? Of course you can. He knows the needs you have, and he can be trusted to provide. Philippians 4:19 reminds us, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not some of your need or most of your need, but all of your need according to his riches in glory. But instead of trusting God, what do we do so often? We get anxious, we fret, We worry. There are three words I want to point out in this passage that will give us victory over worry. When you're tempted to be worried, think about these three words. The first word is found in verse 30, and it's the word faith. Trusting God to meet your needs. Faith. The second word is Father in verse 32. Knowing you have a heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you. And the third word is first in verse 33. Putting God's kingdom and God's will first in your life. Have faith in your Father. Put Him first, and He will provide your needs. Little faith in the provision of God. Look over at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. We see here little faith in the power of God. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came unto him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The little faith that the disciples had is contrasted here with the great faith of another man earlier in this chapter. Look back at verses 5 through 10. We won't take a lot of time with this, but just to point it out. Verse 5, And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. It's amazing that a Gentile, a Roman soldier, technically an enemy of Israel, had more faith than the disciples who walked and talked and lived with Jesus on a daily basis. That's an amazing thing to me. After Jesus and his disciples entered their boat and set sail across the Sea of Galilee, a storm arose, and the scripture describes it as a great tempest with waves that covered the boat. That must have been terrifying. Must have been horrifying. The word tempest is the Greek word seismos, and we get our English words seismic, seismology from that. It literally means shaking. The storm was so violent that it shook the very water, and it threatened to tear their little boat to pieces. And I believe that this was a supernatural storm. I believe this was a storm caused by Satan himself to try to destroy the Son of God as he slept in that boat. The fact that Jesus was asleep in the boat in the middle of a violent storm, isn't that very telling? It really speaks to us in volumes about his humanity. He was truly touched with the feelings of our infirmities, as the writer of Hebrews states. He was fully God, he was fully man, but as a man, he was subject to the frailties of our human bodies. He was tired. He was exhausted after a long day of preaching, after a long day of ministering to people, and so he slept in the boat. He was out like a rock. Can you imagine sleeping through the storm? That's how tired, that's how exhausted Jesus was. And his disciples feared for their lives, so they woke him up and they cried out, Lord, save us, we perish. Notice this, before Jesus rebuked the storm, he rebuked his disciples. The storm can wait. My disciples need to learn something here. And so we see the second occurrence of that phrase, O ye of little faith. And Jesus said, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? The disciples were about to experience something amazing. They were about to see the fulfillment of Scripture take place right before their very eyes. Let me read you a portion of Scripture from the Psalms. The Psalms, this is a psalm that the disciples would have known very well. And it says this, Psalm 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, they do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. They were about to see that scripture fulfilled right before their very eyes. Jesus rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm instantaneously. The storm stopped faster than it started. And Jesus was saying this, little faith ones, you need to grow in your faith in God's power. The disciples had great respect for the power of nature. That's evident in what they said in verse 27. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Even nature obeys him. They had great respect for the power of nature, but they saw that the power of Jesus is even greater. The one who created nature can control nature by his great power. I'm going to say something here that will disqualify me from ever praying the prayer at the presidential inauguration. This is being recorded. It's going to go out on the internet, and somebody's going to find it years from now and say, look, he said this in this sermon. He can't come and pray. I definitely won't be able to run for president, so my plans for presidential aspirations, those are gone, okay? We have a man here in our state. His name is Dr. Paul Brown. You're probably familiar with Dr. Paul Brown. He's a fine man. And he is right now a representative for us in the state of Georgia. His plans in 2014 are to run for the United States Senate. And there have been several articles. I just pulled out the Washington Post article concerning him. And they're predicting that he is going to have a very, very hard time becoming the Republican nominee for that seat. And the main opposition they have to Dr. Paul Brown is that he dared to say, I'm paraphrasing, okay, that what he learned about evolution and what he learned about the Big Bang Theory is straight from the pits of hell. He said that. Oh, that's amazing. And this past week, one of our local radio talk show hosts, I won't name him, you probably can figure out who he is, was talking on the radio about Dr. Paul Brown. And some people were calling up, and they were just amazed. These callers were amazed that people today still believe that God created the world. Can't believe that. And the radio talk show host said, I know, there are still, you know, but there are thousands of people here in Augusta that still believe that. I want you to know that I am one of those nuts who believes that God created the world. Amen. That God created this universe. And I'm going to go a step farther. I believe God created the world in 6 days. Amen. And he rested on the seventh day, not because he needed to, but to give us a pattern of life to follow. Man ought to work for 6 days and rest for 1 day. I believe that God created this world, and the creator of this world, the creator of this universe, has the power to control his creation. And the disciples saw that power. And yet, how often is our faith in God's power the creator of the universe so small. It's so little. The Christian who is aware of God's power has no reason to be afraid of anything. God can and will care for his children. There's no hardship, there's no danger through which he cannot and will not take them. The power of God will see us through any storm in this life that we find ourselves in. God's power can bring us through any storm of life. The next occurrence is in Matthew chapter 14. And we see little faith in the protection of God. Verse 22, Matthew chapter 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. This is following the feeding of the 5,000. Now the word straightway is a word of urgency. And Matthew notes the urgency with which Jesus dismissed the people and put his disciples in a boat and sent them across the sea. But he doesn't tell us why. Now, John tells us why. Let me read you the verse in John. John chapter 6, verse 15 says this, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." So the crowds there at the feeding of the 5,000, they were so overwhelmed by this miracle, they wanted to take Jesus and make him their king by force, and that was not God's plan. Okay. And so Jesus dismissed the crowds. He put his disciples in a boat and sent them across the sea, and he himself went up onto the mountain to pray. And so we find Jesus in a place of prayer with the disciples in a place of peril. And what a vivid picture that is of our time today, right? We live in perilous times. We live in dangerous times. But Jesus is at the Father's right hand, praying for us, making intercession for us. The fourth watch. I need to finish reading this. We just read the first verse. So 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. I guess they were. We would probably be troubled too. Saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." The fourth watch of the night is the morning watch between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's the time when Jesus came walking across the water to his disciples. And the disciples mistook him for a spirit, for a ghost. But he put their minds at ease with the words, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter, I love Peter. Peter immediately answered, "Lord, if that really is you, if you're not a ghost, if you're really the Lord, then command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water. Sometimes we give Peter a hard time. But none of the other disciples got out of the boat, right? I mean, Peter got out of the boat, and he did not fail to walk on the water. Peter walked on the water, verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter was walking on the water just like Jesus was. But then verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. He soon took his eyes off of Jesus and focused on the circumstances that were around him. The wind and the waves. Our focus needs to be on our Lord, not on the circumstances around us. When he did that, he began to sink. And Peter prayed the shortest prayer recorded in the Bible. Lord, save me. It's a good thing Peter wasn't a Baptist preacher. Because by the time he finished with all his thous and therefores, he would have been at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee before he ever got to the Lord, save me part. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out and caught him. And that brings us to the third occurrence of that phrase, O ye of little faith. Jesus said to Peter, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus said, little faith one, you need to grow in your faith in God's protection. The disciples were in a storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee because that's where Jesus told them to go. They were in a place of obedience. Peter was walking on the water in the midst of the storm because Jesus said, come. He was obeying the Lord's command. It was safer to be walking on the water in the midst of a storm with Jesus than to be sitting in the boat without him. And that tells us an important principle here. When believers are in the place of obedience, they are in the place of safety no matter what the circumstances. There's no storm too severe. There are no circumstances too perilous for God to save us, for God to rescue us. He protects his children. And then Matthew chapter 16. We see little faith in the person of God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not unto you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how he had bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. After the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few fish, we read about that in the previous chapter, chapter 15. Jesus sent the multitude away. He got into a ship with the disciples and set sail across the Sea of Galilee. When he reached the other side, he was met by a delegation of Pharisees and Sadducees who wanted him to give them a sign from heaven to prove who he was. If you really are who you claim to be, give us a sign from heaven. He rebuked them. He refused to give them a sign. And then he used that situation as an opportunity to teach his disciples a spiritual lesson. He warned them against the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We understand that Jesus was referring to their teachings. The leaven of the Pharisees was identified in Scripture as their hypocrisy. And the leaven of the Sadducees, their religious liberalism. But the disciples misunderstood. They thought he was referring to physical bread. See, they forgot to bring bread. They forgot to bring food along with them in the boat. And so they were reasoning among themselves. They were scheming. They were planning. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? How are we going to get something to eat? And that brings us to our fourth and last occurrence of that phrase, O ye of little faith, where Jesus said, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have no bread? Why are you trying to reason out a way to get bread when you are with me? Don't you remember the feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves of bread and how much was left over? And Mark gives us the disciples' response. Matthew doesn't, Mark does. The disciples said 12 baskets. 12 baskets were left over. And then Jesus said, don't you remember how I fed the 4,000 just a little while ago with seven loaves of bread? And how much was left over? And the disciples responded, seven baskets. You see, Jesus didn't provide just enough for the crowds to eat, just enough for them to have a meal. He provided a surplus. He provided an abundance. And that's what our God delights to do. He delights in providing and doing abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Jesus had not changed. He was the same. And he rebuked them. In essence, he was saying, where is your faith in who I am? James 1:17 reminds us, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Malachi 3:6, the Lord says this, for I am the Lord, I change not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, we can put our trust in him. We can put our faith in him. Jesus is saying, little faith ones, you need to grow in your faith in God's person. Can you see in yourself the disciples and their lack of faith, their little faith in the Lord? I can see that in myself. Can you see in yourself the need to grow in faith? I can see that in myself. And so the question there then is, what can we do to increase our faith? What can we do to grow in faith? I know this is something that Pastor Lane has been preaching on. Pastor Lane has been teaching us on this matter. Turn to Luke chapter 17. This is our final passage. In Luke chapter 17, the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. He had just taught them a lesson on forgiveness. And they realized, wow, if we're going to do what you're telling us to do, we need more faith. And so they asked him, please increase our faith. And his response to their request in verses 6 through 10 is interesting, and it gives us some instruction on how we can increase our own faith. Jesus didn't give them a list of things to do. A, B, and C, do this, this, and this, and that will increase your faith. That's not how he responded to them. He told them a parable. He told them a parable about a mustard seed and a servant. And in those verses, in that parable, we can find the basic plan for growing in faith, for increasing faith. Look at verse 5. Luke 17:5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. The first step in increasing our faith is prayer. They cried out to the Lord. They asked the Lord to increase their faith. Lord, give me more faith. Increase my faith. Verse 6 gives us the second step. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What's he saying? You know, a little faith can do great things. And he's saying this, take the faith you have and exercise it. Exercise your faith. When we exercise the faith we have, when we put it to work, that will increase our faith. That will grow our faith. And then the third step is found in the remainder verses 7 through 10. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. What is he saying? The third step, we pray, we exercise the faith we have, and we obey God's commandments. Pastor has defined walking in faith as obeying God's commandments, obeying what God tells us to do. But he gives us a twist on this. It's not just obeying God's commandments out of obligation, because that's what the master said to do, so I have to do it. It is obeying God's commandments out of a heart of love, out of a heart of devotion. That's how we grow in our faith. We obey him out of a heart of love and devotion. Obligation does not increase faith. Love and devotion does. A little faith is better than no faith. But God desires our faith to grow. God wants to see our faith growing. Be growing in your faith in God's provision, your faith in God's power, your faith in God's protection, and your faith in God's person. Don't continue to be a little faith one. Together, as a body of believers, let's grow in our faith in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this challenge from your word. Lord, how we all need to grow in our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, help us to exercise the faith that we do have. And Lord, help us to obey you. Help us to follow you with a heart of love and devotion because of who you are. Lord, if there's someone here today who's never come to Jesus Christ in faith for salvation, Lord, may today be the day that salvation enters their heart. May they come to Christ today. And Lord, help us not to continue to be little faith ones, but Lord, help us to grow in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.